You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Plans show Foxconn is using an area of Racine County for a Generation 6 facility. That's industry speak for a plant that produces LCD screens for phones, tablets, and small televisions. Originally, Foxconn planned a Generation 10.5, which is an even bigger plant that produces screens for large LCD TVs. Now, some analysts speculate that Mount Pleasant could wind up with an even smaller operation. Willie Shee is a professor of management at Harvard Business School, and he recently wrote a piece about Foxconn for WisConText. And here he is with WPR's Judith Sears-Poisson.
Can you give us a little more detail about the difference between a Generation 10.5 and a Generation 6 facility? How big a downsize is that?
Well, when you're making these LCDs, usually what people refer to is the mother glass size, and that's what Generation 10.5 versus Generation 6 is. Generation 10.5 is the largest factory that you will find of that type, and typically the size of that glass is such that you can cut, I think it's like 6 75-inch TVs from one piece. So that piece of glass is probably about the size of a parking space, maybe, you know, a little smaller than a one-car garage. Now, a Gen 6 piece of glass is considerably smaller. It's more like the size of maybe a queen-size bed or so. So it's considerably smaller. In both cases, the sheets of glass are very thin, typically 7/10 of a millimeter thick. So you can imagine like a Gen 10.5 sheet of glass that's the size of, a parking space or a one-car garage, and you try to handle that, and it's really quite challenging. So the smaller size glasses are actually much easier to manufacture with.
So were you surprised at all when the company announced that it was scaling its plans back?
Well, actually, no, I was not surprised at all. The first thing is, because when you build a Gen 10.5 fab, as they call them, these factories are called fabs, you have to have that glass come in from a supplier. And Gen 10.5 glass, as you can imagine, is so big and so fragile. Every other 10.5 fab in the world has a glass factory across the street. Okay, and usually what they'll do is they'll feed it via underground tunnels into, the actual LCD factory. You can't ship them. They're so big and they're so fragile. So, once I understood that Wisconsin was not going to provide a subsidy for the construction of the glass factory, I figured it was only a matter of time until, that fab got scaled down. Because, Gen 6 glass, you could ship it from a distance. It's not ideal, but you could ship it. But 10.5, it's really not practical.
I think I'm remembering from your article that the closest glass factory, the closest Corning factory that would be making this type of glass is actually in Kentucky. And so you're saying that it's impossible to ship something so sensitive from Kentucky. Usually it's right across the street, as you said.
Well, yeah, Kentucky is not exactly across the street. You could ship Gen 6 glass. I imagine you could, it might take some superhuman efforts to ship Gen 10.5 glass. Normally what you have to do is you have to pack it in crates. It's very fragile. 10.5 is really impractical to ship great distances, but Gen 6 you could.
So you have spent quite a bit of time in China looking at the factories that they have there, the fabs, as you call them, and the glass factories. Give us a sense of the scale of these facilities and whether that would ever have been possible in Wisconsin.
Well, it's possible. If you walk into one of these LCD fabs, I visited a Gen 10.5 fab last year. It was a brand new one in Hefei, China, which is, an inland city. And the building for this fab was 1.3 kilometers from end to end. And usually these fabs are, they're gigantic. And one of the reasons is they have to be an ultra-clean environment. You can imagine if you're trying to make these screens, if you have dust particles get in the way, you'll have like these dark spots on the screen, right? Dead pixels they're referred to. You'll have these monstrous tools that handle everything, robots that move the glass around. You won't see a lot of people on the floor, right? The people will be engineers who set up the tools, and then we'll be operating on them from a control room off to the side somewhere.
We're talking with Willie Shee right now. He is a professor of management practice and business administration at Harvard University. We're talking about a recent piece that he wrote for wiscontext.org about Foxconn and the differences in doing business in China and Wisconsin and the U.S. And Willie, so it's pretty clear we're not going to have a 10.5 factory here. How confident are you that we will actually get the Generation 6 factory in Mount Pleasant?
Well, that one is possible, okay? It's possible, but Foxconn will face a number of obstacles, okay? First of all, not only the glass, but all the other materials it uses for making LCD panels, whether it's for TV sets or smartphones or whatever, all those other materials have to come from Asia as well, right? So you could say, well, I'm going to build a Gen 6 fab here. I'll import all those materials. But when you are done with the output, you'll have these panels. That's what they call these kind of semi-finished LCD screens, panels which I might use in TVs or use in phones or tablets or whatever. Those panels will then have to go into a product like a TV set or a phone, but the comparison products will come from Asia, will be finished panels, okay, and they will be at a market price, right? So this fab, if Foxconn builds it in Wisconsin, they have to have it at a competitive world market price, right? These panels are kind of a commodity, I hate to say it, right, but they're a commodity, a very high-tech commodity. But the pricing is governed by what other suppliers around the world are willing to sell them for. And we're at a point in the cycle where in China, manufacturers have added a huge amount of capacity, right? So there's really surplus capacity in the market right now, and the pricing isn't very good, right? So you end up with a commodity. So if Foxconn builds this factory and they're selling into a market that has kind of this commoditization pressure, the question will be, how much money can they really make? I've kind of held the position of, well, you don't want to build a fab kind of in the wrong part of the cycle where all you're going to do is add to the glut in the marketplace. You know, that's not good for Foxconn, and it won't be good for Wisconsin if they do that. The core question is, how competitive will that factory be when they're done? I think there's been a level of expectation set about, well, we're going to have an LCD fab, okay? Well, maybe it won't be a Gen 10.5 fab. Maybe it'll be a Gen 6 or Gen 6.5 fab, but we want to have an LCD fab. I don't know if that's necessarily the best approach, right? I mean, because if you think about it, the state of Wisconsin gave Foxconn incentives to really create economic activity, create jobs, and new economic growth there. Okay, now, people have gotten locked into this idea of, you know, you promised a fab, I want to have a fab. Okay, and now Foxconn is trying to kind of figure out how are we going to do this, right? And, you know, if it were a choice of a Gen 6 or 6.5 fab versus something else that might be more economically successful, which would you rather have? I know what I would recommend, but I think that's the core question facing all the stakeholders in this at this point.
Governor Evers' administration, which of course was not the administration that negotiated the contract, that was the previous administration under Scott Walker. The current administration says that they're comfortable with Foxconn's plans for Wisconsin and believe that they're proceeding as they should. And they have also said that they think Foxconn executives are comfortable with their team. How much more complicated is this project, though, with a new administration from a different political party stepping in midstream?
Well, it's always complicated when you have expectations, right? I mean, I think there's a level of expectation set around incentives and what kind of jobs and economic activity will Foxconn create. If that's the objective, do we have to do it with a Gen 6 or Gen 6.5 fab, right? I mean, that's always already a step back from the original promise. Now the question, I think, with a change of administration is how much flexibility is there on both sides? Can both sides come up with something that makes sense and is sustainable economically? You don't want Foxconn to build a factory that loses money, right? Because that doesn't serve anybody well over the long term, right? You actually want Foxconn to do something there that's, you know, going to have a long life and create long-lasting jobs and create that economic activity. So I don't know, right? But the question is, how much flexibility will they show?
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Willie, she is a professor of management at Harvard Business School, talking there with WPR's Judith Sears-Poisson. You can read this piece and other coverage at wiscontext.org/Foxconn. Coming up, it's news. Then we're talking about a multi-billion-dollar industry that sends an assortment of pretty much anything straight to your door. We're talking about the allure of the subscription box. And by the way, thank you to the more than 2,400 members who contributed during our spring membership drive. You donated more than $440,000. It is The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.